91X now presents In Touch with Quinty, conversation and information about issues that matter to our community.
Hi, I'm Sully's Pappas with QNN News, and here I am sitting with Josh Fisher, an indie game developer in Belleville. We're going to do a little discussion. Josh, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I got into the indie game market decided to get into it about like 5 years ago now. I currently am working on a small scale MMO for a forum site, and I'm really excited. I'm hoping to get into bigger projects soon.
Can you tell me a little bit about this MMO, and can you tell us what an MMO is, please?
Well, an MMO, or massively multiplayer online game. It's just any online game that has a huge amount of players on it. Now, the one that I'm developing for, it's a lot smaller. It only has about 100 to 200 players. And it's based off of an old PlayStation game that they kind of developed into a fan site, and then it kind of grew from there.
Mm-hmm. So... wait, what was the game it was based off of?
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I remember playing that when I was younger as well. Excellent game, excellent. So does it incorporate like a turn-based system, or is it going to be completely live-action?
It's turn-based, but it's very different from the original. Instead of it being like a squad, like the original one was, like five guys against any number of enemies, it's basically just one-on-one. Arena fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a system for funding for your intellectual work?
Not currently, no. I just kind of work off. I mostly do debugging, so people contact me and then I'll debug the code and I get paid through, you know, PayPal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that places like Belleville or places in Ontario really support this kind of work?
There's definitely like a market for it. I'd say like Toronto is the biggest one, obviously. But more and more we're seeing like indie developers coming from basically anywhere that you can program, right? Because it's a more connected world, so you can do it anywhere as long as you've got like an internet connection and a good enough computer.
And I can totally agree with that. Being heavily into gaming culture myself, playing since I could hold a controller in my hand, I really understand this. I feel that a lot more people are experiencing play, like the way we play games and the way we play with the world now, a lot more differently than what was a preconceived notion back when. I would like it say maybe 10 years ago or so, like everyone is playing a game of some sort, right? Like even on their phone. What do you think about that? Can you tell me about that?
Well, I think that it's definitely like it's a lot more saturated in like today's world than it was like 10, 15 years ago. Like everyone plays games. Even people who have never played games, like would have never played games back in like the 1998 or whatever, or the early 2000s, like those people who said, oh, I'll never touch a game, they're sitting there on their phones now just playing those casual games. And the casual gaming has really opened it up for everyone and for the market to grow, so it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me like what are some of the most important aspects of this MMO you're making?
We want to try to keep things thought out, obviously. We want to make it work mechanically, thematically, and with the lore. So story-wise, we want it to really be the way that the story that we're setting out. It's based off of the old Final Fantasy Tactics, but we're trying to make it into a new thing, right? And we want everything to fit like thematically so that certain things make sense. You know, knights don't use magic or stuff like that. And mechanically, we want to make sure that everything works, so you got to get all the bugs out. And I think those working with those three concepts first and making those work are the more important things of developing any game, really, not just the one I'm working on.
What do you think is the best setting now. Video games have been around for so long right now, and now we've had the future, we've had like post-apocalyptic, we've had complete medieval arts fantasy to dark fantasy to like D&D games, like old Dungeons and Dragons coming to life now in these virtual worlds. What do you think is one of the most impressive settings for you?
Impressive? Well, for me, I've always been a fan of old school fantasy, you know, swords and magic. But I feel a lot of my favorite games nowadays are post-apocalyptic, like, you know, Fallout or it brings a really like dystopian view. It's like, oh, this is bad. We gotta like stop this from like ever, you know, let's not drop nukes on everything. So it's definitely like a different way to see the world, and it's so different than, you know, the world is now, obviously. So it's,
when it comes to those fears represented through media, I don't think that's a new concept by any stretch of the imagination. I'm certain that a lot of literary works and as well as movies and have had a major influence on the gaming culture and for the way that we see any setting, any theme, especially when it comes to post-apocalyptic. Like Fallout 4 was covered by QNET News actually last year, its release. There was quite a few people out there for a midnight release, even though some would say that's silly. I disagree. I think it's actually a very strong indication that many people are going to want these things, and they're going to want them now, because that is the setting we're in now. Everyone is playing. Everyone is experiencing some sort of play. When you go further back behind that, when you go into the actual mechanical aspects, like what you're doing, you get to see a different perspective of it. Because if I'm not mistaken, and you can elaborate on this, for you, it's a lot more about code, right? It's about how you program something.
Well, usually when people ask, like, oh, you're a video game designer, and I clarify, I'm like, no, I'm a developer. Like, the way I kind of, like, elaborate is designers kind of, like, make the car, like, look like a car, and I just make sure that the engine runs. Like, I make sure that the car moves, right? And I think that's the best way, that's the best analogy I've got for it, really. Like, I while I appreciate what designers do, and designers are a huge part of game development, probably bigger than developers, you got to make sure that the car actually moves before it, you know, looks nice, right? The developers are there more at the beginning of a project, and designers are more there at the end, near the end, like to spruce it up or to beautify it, or yeah.
How many hours do you think you could spend on a single debugging session?
Once spent about 8 hours straight debugging a game back in college. It's just a matter, it's very meticulous work. It's test it, make sure it runs. Oh, it doesn't run, gotta find out what's wrong, find the one line of code that hasn't had like an apostrophe put into it, remove the apostrophe or add an apostrophe, try to run it again. It's very like, it's time consuming work, but it makes the game work. That's the important thing. It's a process that has to be done. Somebody's got to do it, right?
I understand that. Could you explain in a visual example? So for instance, like hypothetically speaking, if you're running a code and a character in a video game is supposed to walk, and you are sent to debug it, in this situation the character, instead of walking, is running. Is that an issue with the code?
Possibly. It's almost always an issue with the code. What could be happening there is, say you need to press a button down to run, right? Instead of the code checking, like, is this button being pressed? It's going like, oh, the button's always on. So the switch is always on. So he's always running. So I would just go in and I'd just put, no, make sure the button is pressed.
Do you feel like the actual development process is really something that people take into a credit?
I think a lot of people look for the aesthetics first, and that's why a lot of people say, oh, that's designers are the best, like in anything, right? But developing is important to make sure that the thing works and to make sure it looks nice. Looking nice is great, but it's got to work, or else you're just holding a very nice brick in your hand.
How long have you been playing games yourself?
I'm 27, so 26 years, ever since I can remember. Like I've played games since I was like 3. I remember beating Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. It was the first game I beat when I was 3. I probably had help, I don't really remember, but I remember seeing the game, the ending screen. So I've been playing games as long as I possibly can be playing games.
Where do you think some of the future of gaming is for yourself? Like, one thing I'm very curious about, the whole virtual reality craze.
When it picks up, like right now it's just kind of like starting and people are like, oh, this is a neat idea. And I think that it just needs the one little push, like the good original, like for VR gaming, like the original game that makes people go like, I gotta get me one of them VR things. Like, it just needs that push to make it like really, right now it's a fad, but it could be something a lot more than what it is now. And I think that's what people are trying to push towards. They just have to find the right thing to get that one push.
Mm-hmm. And VR is fairly expensive, even for VR is very applicable for a lot of things now, right? So we have YouTube producing VR content, we have Google producing VR content, and we have I'll say typically now, because we have PCs, personal computers running VR content, and people are acquiring these development kits and trying to play these VR games, and they're posting videos about it on YouTube, and it's very interesting right now. Do you think VR, the game that you're developing for, your MMO, do you think that it ever were to take off to the point where you would think about expanding the way you play your game? Do you think VR would be something that you would try?
I think it would be interesting to see it in VR, but honestly, I don't think it would ever get to that point. It's just not that type of game. And it depends on the game. Some games are like built for VR, like first person shooters would be great for VR. Like RPGs, I could see being great for VR. Fighting games would be cool. But like other games just don't really lend itself. Like you wouldn't, you know, the Wii makes you tired.
For Nintendo's 7th generation console, and it required you to use these little remote-like controllers and to wave your arms around to actually produce movement in games, or also like whatever action you wanted to take. And a lot of people, when it was first coming out, a lot of people were actually flinging these remotes into their television sets and breaking them. Just as a little tidbit of information, a very humorous thing now. You could still find those videos on YouTube. Josh, I really want to know, what is your favorite video game soundtrack?
Soundtrack? Oh, that's... Right now, I am currently loving the Undertale soundtrack. It's got amazing music. It was a great game. So yeah, I'm going to have to say Undertale. That or like pick a Final Fantasy, because that's like my favorite game series and like can't go wrong with that music.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of indie developers are trying to reach the plateau that is Undertale, right? It's synonymous with success now, I think. Undertale was a game developed by just 1 to 2 people, and it's been selling millions of copies, and everyone's playing it, everyone's talking about it. Academics and universities are studying it because it looks at the way we play games and it breaks the fourth wall. It makes the player a part of this game, and I think that's what people are finding really interesting. Have you played Undertale?
Oh, absolutely. Like I played through it twice. And I agree. Like It does what very few other games do, and that brings the player into the world as an actual entity of that world, not as the player. Well, you are still the player controlling the character, and at the same time, you're someone in that world being not always, but like they know you're there, like more or less. It's definitely like a great take on telling like a story that people think that it's going one way and it just goes the other way. It does a very good job at just pulling the rug out from under you like so many times. Mm-hmm. Games as a medium, they provide an extra level of interactivity that movies don't have, that books don't have, TV shows don't have, right? Allowing the viewer or player to interact with that world in order to manipulate it, to make it your own story slightly, but it's still your own story the way that you play it. That's why games are like a better medium for telling stories nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well, Josh, thank you for coming to talk with me today, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I wish you the best, and I hope that when your game comes out, I might have a chance to play it myself. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been In Touch with Quinty, heard weekly at this time on Alternative Radio 91X.